I would encourage you to turn in your Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 14. We want to consider a lesson there from the Apostle Paul and his statement, "Let us not judge one another." We want to consider a study this evening of how to handle one's opinions or scruples in the local congregation. And this is a very important study because if we don't understand how to handle our opinions and judgments and liberties, Paul uses the word liberty, as we'll see in 1 Corinthians 8, 1 Corinthians 10. If we don't know how to handle our liberties, opinions, scruples with others, we will needlessly divide over things that we should not divide over. And we see it even in the Lord's church today. Sometimes brethren will divide over a doctrinal matter, what the Scripture teaches. They will divide over what they believe the Scripture teaches or does not teach, and that does happen. But I would say more often than not, the majority of cases, at least today that I see, it's not over doctrinal matters. It's not over right and wrong. It's not over whether or not someone has done something that we could honestly say they're going to go to hell for that. It's not over things like that. It's over judgments and opinions. And we split and we divide and we cause problems. And we need to get back to seeing some of the verses in the New Testament on how to handle our opinions. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 14, you're going to find a lengthy discussion, and it runs all the way down into verse 7 of chapter 15. When you're looking at the book of Romans, just to get a bird's eye view here and set the stage for what we're talking about this evening. When you look at Romans chapter 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul, the theme there is condemnation. All people have sinned. And then he tells us how to be saved, how to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So chapters 4 and 5 would be justification. After we've been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, we have to live a life apart from sin. So in Romans chapter 6 through 8, it's how the Christian should live. They're no longer to continue in sin. They're to walk by the Spirit. They're to be set apart. They're to be holy. Then in Romans chapter 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul steps out for a moment and addresses a particular issue, and that is, what place does Israel have in God's plan of salvation? What place do they have in His election? How can Jews or how can Israel as a whole be saved like everybody else? And then when that portion of the book is over with, in chapters 12 through 16, the Apostle Paul wants to engage in some practical applications for those who are Christians. Once he discusses how a person can become a Christian, then he's going to discuss practical daily Christian living from chapters 12 all the way through chapter 16. This would be the application portion of the book. And in this section of the practical how to live as a Christian section, chapters 14 and the first part of chapter 15 deals with how to handle one's scruples or judgments or opinions. We need to understand, brethren, that not every little detail of our life is outlined in the Word of God. If it were, we wouldn't be able to carry the book around. It would be so big. God gives us general principles. Sometimes He's very specific in what He says. Sometimes He's more generic in what He says. But stop and think about all the things that we can say and do throughout the day. All those little types of things, they're not detailed in Scripture. We govern our lives by the principles that are found in God's Word, and sometimes matters of personal opinion and scruple are left to our own judgment. Now, we can't just live any way we want with our opinions. It's guided by God's Word, but not every little thing that we say and do throughout the day is specifically mentioned in the Word of God, and so there's some area of judgment here on how we act throughout the day. And in Romans chapter 14, we're being told how we can handle one another's opinions. And so this evening, I want us to look at this particular passage. Now, the first thing I'd like to do this evening is I'd like for us to read the first 12 verses, and then later on in the lesson, we're going to come back and read the rest of the chapter. Let's read together Romans 14, verses 1 through 12. "But him that is weak in faith receive ye, yet not for decision of scruples. One man hath faith to eat all things, but he that is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth set at naught him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest the servant of another? To his own Lord he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be made to stand, for the Lord hath power to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let each man be fully assured in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that eateth unto the Lord. For he giveth thanks, and he that eateth not unto the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But thou, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or thou again, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, and then a quotation from Isaiah, as I live, saith the Lord, to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now let's come back to verse 1 now and begin to see, how do we handle one's scruples or opinions in the local church? Like I said before, often it is the case that divisions happen in the local church, and it's not over a doctrinal matter, it's over just simply opinion. So we have to learn this passage of Scripture. And what's unfortunate, brethren, to me is that a lot of times when we go over these things, it's too late. The division has already occurred. And so you're just preaching to the choir. But hopefully we can keep ourselves from letting something like this happen in our own lives later somewhere else. But often when we touch on these kinds of things, it's after the fact and the damage is already done. But I don't know how else to handle it. We're not prophets. We're not sons of a prophet. We can't predict when something is going to happen and then stand up and give a sermon right before it happens to keep it from happening. We just don't know. We just do the best we can with trying to read the local congregation and see to the needs of the brethren, but we don't know when these things are going to crop up. So the damage is often already done, but at least we can learn ourselves and make sure that we never do these things in our own lives. We're talking in verse 1 about scruples. The older versions use the word scruples. Now notice in chapter 14 and verse 1, receive ye. Now jump on down to chapter 15 and verse 7. Wherefore, receive one another. The first point I want to make this evening is that this lesson that Paul is giving runs all the way through to chapter 15 and verse 7. So make a note of that. Here's a case where you would want to ignore the chapter division. What we call chapter 15, verse 1, that's not a new discussion. It's the same discussion. So the first point you want to get is that when you're reading and wanting to learn about this, we have to go all the way in to chapter 15 and verse 7. Paul says, receive this other person. In matters of opinion, you're going to receive. It means to accept into fellowship, to allow them to do what they're doing and be in fellowship with them and work together. So receive or accept them. Notice that it runs from 14:1 all the way through 15:7. The second thing I'd like for us to get right at the beginning of the lesson is that we're talking about matters of scruple, and the New American Standard uses the word opinion. And we're going to be using that word tonight. That's the word that we're familiar with. We do things, we say things that are matters of opinion, okay? And we need to be allowed to have those judgments, those opinions. The way I deliver my lessons is a matter of opinion. Other men deliver them in different ways. And really, if you stop and think about it, in a given service, there could be many judgments or opinions that go on, many. There are some things that aren't matters of judgment. Singing, the Lord's Supper, the two elements of the Lord's Supper, different like that. That's not left up to opinion. But other things are left up to opinion. What we say and how we do certain things, we've got to let brethren do that. Okay? And then even outside the service, there are things, there are places we go, matters of opinion. You know, if my car breaks down, I have no problem going into a bar to use a telephone. I have no problem doing that. But you know what? There have been brethren in the past, and I've grown up with brethren in the past, that really have a problem with that. They would not do that. It bothers them greatly. Okay? So that's a judgment. It's opinion. I'm not going in there to drink. I'm going in there to borrow the phone. But they have the judgment that you should not be in a place where it looks like you're condoning something, and I respect that opinion. Judgments, opinions, this happens all day long. What happens, though, brethren, is
We don't want to let the other brother have his opinion. We want to bind our opinion on him, and we get our feathers ruffled about that, and we call him, well, I'm gone. And so we've got to learn what the Scripture says about these matters. Now, in Romans 14, the opinion that Paul deals with is not about Chris going into a bar to borrow the telephone. It's about eating meat and observing certain days. So, we need to understand that brethren are at liberty. And listen very carefully. It is their liberty. It's not my place to control them, to get up over them and hover over them and say, now you're going to do it the way I do it. We can't do that. And contrary to the belief of some, we don't control everybody. We don't bind our views on everybody. I'm not in charge of everybody's life. It just doesn't work like that, you see. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. What happens is we start thinking that, well, no, it is my place. It is my place to tell them how to act and live and do this and that. And they need to do it my way. And they need to tow the rope the way I want them to do it. And we forget this one basic principle that God gives us liberties. Okay? Liberties. Look at 1 Corinthians 8. And by the way, if you're making notes, when you want a full study of Romans 14, first of all, you got to go all the way down to chapter 15, verse 7. The second thing you need to do is you have to read 1 Corinthians 8, 4 through 13. That's the same material. 1 Corinthians 8, 4 through 13. It's the same material. But notice in verse 9, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block. The Greek word literally means a power. It's in your power to do this or to do that. And so in 1 Corinthians 8, Paul discusses the same thing, but he introduces a new word, not scruple, but liberty. We're at liberty to say and act and do certain things. Well, I don't believe they should say and act and do that. Well, that's their liberty. You have your liberty not to do it that way. They have their liberty to do it that way. And you can't impose yourself on them. And so how do we exercise our opinions or our liberties? And we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 8 later. Well, first of all, before we get any farther, I want us to just hold your hand in Romans 14. Notice in Romans 14 and verse 1, Paul says, receive ye. In other words, receive this person. But turn over to 2 John 9, where John says, receive him not. Somebody might say, well, does the Bible contradict itself? No. When you turn over to 2 John 9, John says, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone come unto you and bring not this teaching, receive him not into your house. Paul said in Romans 14:1, receive him. John said, receive him not. Does the Bible contradict itself? No, it does not contradict itself because we're talking about two different things. In Romans 14 and verse 1, receive him, and it's the same word in both passages, receive. In Romans 14, it's matters of opinion. Accept, be in fellowship with this person. But look at 2 John 9. It's a matter of the doctrine of Christ. It is a matter of right and wrong. It is a matter of black and white. It is a matter of truth and error. And when someone comes and they're not bringing, verse 9, the doctrine of Christ, you do not receive him. You do not accept him. So there are some people that we receive and we're in fellowship with, and that is matters of opinion. Okay, but when someone is in our midst and they're not teaching the doctrine of Christ, we do not receive them. That is very important to see that at the very beginning of the lesson, not just to understand the difference between the two passages, but as we're going to see later in the lesson, some people try to bring things of 2 John 9 and put them into Romans 14. We'll talk about that later. So, what are we talking about, brethren? We're talking about, back to Romans 14 now, we're not talking about matters of the doctrine of Christ, where it's been spelled out that this is right and this is wrong, this is truth and this is error. We're talking about when brethren have liberties and judgments and opinions that are well within the realm of what God approves of, but are different than what I do. Okay? How do we handle those kinds of things? Well, let's look now at the two things that Paul talks about. Number one, we're talking about opinions. Number two, in the realm of opinions, it's someone that we can receive and accept. Okay? Now, what are the two examples that Paul gives here in Romans 14? He gives two examples that were bones of contention
in the first century among Jews and Gentiles. It had to do with whether or not to eat meat, particularly meat sacrificed to idols, and whether or not to observe certain days. Now, Jews and Gentiles had different scruples and opinions about that. Jews would not eat certain kind of meat, pork, for example. And that came straight out of the Old Testament. But even though the Old Testament has been done away, they could technically what? They could eat pork now, right? But they had grown up, they had been taught not to do that, and they just still didn't want to do that. The Gentile Christians in Rome could what? Boy, they could have sausage links, you know, they could have whatever they wanted and sit down and serve that and have that. And the Jewish brethren just really didn't want that, okay? Even though technically they could. The old law has been done away, okay? Well, when you're together, let each person exercise their opinion about that. Some brethren wanted to eat meat, some brethren didn't, okay? The only time that eating meat was wrong, and we won't take time to look at it, but when you turn over to Colossians 2, verses 8 and following, when Paul says there that if you're binding meat and other things, then that's wrong. Otherwise, it's not wrong. If you're not binding it as a condition of salvation, it doesn't matter whether you eat it or not. Look at verse 3. Let not him that eateth set it not, or put down him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not, here's the vegetarian, judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Okay, we can receive him because God has received him. And we're going to talk about two God-approved things here. God doesn't care if you eat or don't eat. Okay? God doesn't care if you observe a certain day or don't observe a certain day. With God, that's fine either way. Hold your hand in Romans 14 and turn over to 1 Corinthians 8. We can see the wording a little bit better in 1 Corinthians 8. In 1 Corinthians 8, we're going to begin reading in verse 7. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7. He wants to talk about eats. Now, concerning things, concerning meats, things sacrificed to idols, verse 4. Okay? Come down to verse 7. Howbeit, there is not in all men that knowledge. That is, the knowledge that there is just one true God. A lot of people, especially the Gentiles, they're going to be raised in a plurality of gods, idols and so forth. And when they become Christians, they're used to all of that idolatry in their background. But some, being used until now to the idol, eat as a thing sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food will not condemn us. Look at verse 8 very carefully. We're talking about in Romans 14, it's things, it doesn't matter whether you do them or don't do them. If you do them, you're fine with God. If you don't do them, you're fine with God. Look at it. Food will not condemn us. Neither if we eat not are we the worse, nor if we eat are we the better. It doesn't matter either way. Somebody says, well, how do I know what to put into Romans 14? It's real easy. It's real easy. Put it into Romans 14 and ask yourself, if I do it, I'm okay, or if I don't do it, I'm okay. Put it in there and see if that works. I've actually seen people put homosexuality into Romans 14. Some of our brethren put errors on adultery in Romans 14 back in the 90s. I've seen instrumental music put in Romans 14. I've seen denominationalists put things in Romans 14. Anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Any other kind of difference going on, we can put it in Romans 14. I've seen where in certain commentaries among brethren years ago, instrumental music and institutionalism has been put in Romans 14. All kinds of things are put in Romans 14. A good test is, if I do it, am I fine with God? If I don't do it, I'm fine with God. So if I commit homosexuality, I'm fine with God. If I don't commit it, I'm fine with God. See, that doesn't work, does it? Adultery, it doesn't work, does it? You see, those things don't belong in Romans 14. We're talking about if I do it, fine. If I don't do it, fine. So read it again. If we eat not, neither are we the worse, nor if we eat, are we the better. It doesn't matter to God one way or the other. So, some Jewish brethren would not eat certain kinds of meat. Gentile brethren would. Okay, and some would not eat meat at all. They'd rather just eat vegetables, and that's fine. Look at the second thing that he talks about, days. Jews especially were raised on certain days being more holy. The Sabbath day, several feast days throughout the month and throughout the year. The Gentiles, they didn't have those kinds of things that Jews did. And so a Jew, even though the Sabbath day has passed, he still wanted to set apart Saturday. He worshiped on the first day of the week with the rest of the Christians, but Saturday was still special to him because that was the way he was raised all of his life, and other kinds of things like that. Maybe Pentecost or other kinds of things that rolled around throughout the year. And so, esteeming days, to esteem means to honor it, to set it apart and hold it in high esteem. With some brethren, they esteemed certain days. Other brethren didn't do that. And so here's the second example. The first one is meats. The second one is days. So look with me now at verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, like a Jew might hold Saturday more special than somebody. Another esteemeth every day alike, you see. Let each man be fully assured in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that eateth unto the Lord, and so forth. He's doing it. He's trying to serve the Lord. He's a Christian. This is a personal opinion of his. He's not trying to bind it on anybody else. It's between him and God. So here's the second example. We're not talking about matters of right and wrong in Romans 14. We're not talking about matters of truth and error. We're not talking about doctrinal matters. We're not talking about false teaching, anything like that. Although that has been put in there through the years. It's a misuse of Romans 14 in trying to broaden the fellowship with others. Okay? That's not what it is. It's about, verse 1, read it again, opinions. Opinions. Where, if we do it or if we don't do it, it doesn't matter to God one way or the other. We're talking about two God-approved scruples or opinions. Now, notice in the text, how can we know that we're talking about things that in and of themselves are right with God? Well, there are several phrases that indicate what that is. And again, somebody says, well, how do I know what goes into Romans 14 or not? It's very simple. Take whatever it is that you're wondering about and plug it in up here. Let's just take adultery, for example. Okay? And that was done back in the 90s with some of our brethren. If certain brethren are teaching error on adultery, then we just need to receive him, Romans 14:1. Okay, let's just see how that works. Adultery. The adulterer, God has received him. The adulterer, God makes him the power to stand. We commit, we commit adultery unto the Lord, right? Can you do that? Can you commit adultery unto the Lord? No. See, it doesn't work. And so we're talking about things that in and of themselves are approved by God. We're not talking about anything we want to put in Romans 14. So look at some of these statements that tell us that God approves of these things. God hath received him, verse 3. The Lord hath power to make him stand, verse 4. Whatever he's doing it unto the Lord. He's doing it while he's living unto the Lord, verse 6, verse 8. He's persuaded in the Lord Jesus. In the Lord Jesus. You see, that is, would the Lord approve of that? Verse 14. Let's look at a few other phrases. Nothing is unclean of itself. Look at that. Adultery is not unclean. Does that work? No, can't put it in there. Look at verse 16. Whatever this person is doing, it's described as good. You can't put abortion in there, homosexuality, adultery, instrumental music, lying, stealing, cheating, and a host of other things. That's not good, you see. Whatever this is that this person is doing, it's good in and of itself. Okay? Can you commit adultery and do it to serve Christ, you see? Whatever the person is doing, he's serving Christ, and God is well pleased, verse 18. All things are clean. This is clean in and of themselves, verse 20. And we do it before God, verse 22. So, what we're learning then this evening is, number one, we're talking about matters of opinion and judgment. The two examples that are given are meats and observing days. And we know that they are two God-approved opinions or judgments because of these several phrases that are given throughout the chapter. Now, let's look at another matter. What does it mean that the one brother is weak and another brother is strong? What does that mean? Well, first of all, let's take the weak brother. Did you notice back in the very first verse. Him that is weak in faith. Okay. Look at verse 2. He that is weak. Okay. Come down to chapter 15 and verse 1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. What are we talking about when we're talking about the weak brother? We're not talking about physically weak. We're not even talking about spiritually weak. We sometimes use that phrase. We're talking about weak. Paul is talking about weak in this sense. He's weak in this sense. his conscience has not been taught along a certain line, and he believes that he should not be doing such and such. His conscience has been taught that I should not be eating this meat. And so his conscience tells him, I cannot eat this meat. Weak in the sense that he's not convinced that he can do it. He's not convinced that he can eat meat, even though he can. Even though it would be fine if he could, but it's just the way he was raised and the way he was taught. Come back with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And again, 1 Corinthians 8 helps to shed a lot of good light on this discussion. We were raised a certain way, right? We were raised a certain way. And we do things today based upon the way we were raised. Let me just give you one example. I have an opinion, and I'm putting myself out there. You could do the same thing if you were up. I'm just going to put myself out there. I have an opinion as to how people ought to dress when they come to worship services. Okay? I have an opinion about that. And I have a strong opinion about that. Other people have other opinions about how they should dress when they come. But just to put myself out there and to illustrate this, one reason I have an opinion as to how people ought to dress when they come to worship services is the way I was raised. I was raised to dress a certain way every time. Look at chapter 8 and verse 7. Look at the phrase, but some being used until now. Underscore that in your Bible. They were raised a certain way. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7. They were raised. That's what they're used to. That's why they're doing what they're doing. They were used to doing it that way all their life. Okay? Now, I have a strong opinion about something, but I can't bind that on you. I have to keep it to myself. I can suggest some things. I can encourage some things, but I certainly can't divide over it. And there are a lot of things in our life. Playing cards or not, that used to be an issue among brethren. Going to a movie theater, that used to be an issue among brethren. It's the way our parents raise us to do certain things. We have a conscience about certain things in the realm of liberties and judgments, okay? So my conscience says I need to do it this way or I don't need to do it this way. And so weak is in this sense. Now come down to verse 10. 1 Corinthians 8:10. If a man see thee, who has knowledge, that is, knowledge that you can eat meat, okay? If he sees that you have knowledge, sitting at meat in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, we're talking about weak in conscience, be emboldened to eat things sacrificed to idols? And so a person who is weak is not convinced that he can do such and such. I just don't feel that I can do that. Even though technically, in God's eyes, he could, and he'd be fine. It's just the way he was raised, he just can't bring himself to do such and such. So the weak brother, then, in Romans chapter 14, is the brother who is weak in conscience. He doesn't feel like he can eat meat. He doesn't feel like he can observe certain days the way his Christian friends are doing that. Okay. So then who is the strong brother? Well, before we leave, look at verse 11. He that is weak perisheth. Okay? The weak brother is also mentioned in verse 11. So, how does he get this way? Verse 7, their conscience being weak. Verse 7. How do you get your conscience? Part of your conscience is developed by God's word, what the verse says. But you know what? Part of your conscience is also developed by the way your parents are raising you and by the way you were raised by your parents. A part of that's your conscience as well. Okay, so we get used to doing certain things by the way we are raised. And then we get in the local congregation with another brother who wasn't raised that way. He has a different conscience about some things. We have to be willing to let each person exercise their liberties. We can't say everybody in this church should be living the way Bill Reeves raised his boys. Y'all better be on board with all of that. That'd be nice. It'd be convenient, but it doesn't work like that. And so we can't do that with others. And sometimes we're tempted to do that. And I'm telling you that when you hold an opinion very strongly, It's hard not to do that, but you have to keep it to yourself. That's why I asked Matthew to read 1 Corinthians 10, 32 and 33. We're not to please ourselves. What do I want? I'm going to make Larry do what I want. That's not how it works in matters of opinion. And let me tell you something. When you hold something strongly, you want to voice it. And you want other people to do it. You want to make them do it the way... you can't do it. You can't do it. And to the point of forcing it and dividing it and causing someone to sin. You can't do that. You can talk with them about your opinion. You can give them their opinion. A lot of times I give brethren my opinion. But I have to keep it there. And you have to keep yours there. But where we cross the line is we don't want to keep it there. We want to press it and then divide over it. And that's what Paul is saying is wrong. So then who then is the strong brother? The strong brother would be the opposite. He's the one that is convinced. Look at chapter 15. It's used in chapter 15 and verse 1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. It's not talking about physical strength. It's talking about someone who has a conscience. He's fully convinced. You got to back up a little bit into chapter 14 to get some of the wording. Look at verse 14. He's fully persuaded that he can do these things. Look at verse 22. His conscience approves of what he's doing. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul will say, I have knowledge to do this. Verse 14, I think, is the best verse. I'm persuaded. I am fully persuaded that this is the way it is. I'm fully persuaded of that. And you have some judgments, and I have some judgments that we are fully persuaded about. I'm not doubting whatsoever. This is the way it is. Well, that's the strong brother. Okay? And with regard to me, hey, I am fully persuaded. I can march right into an idol's temple, sit down, and enjoy the barbecue. I'm not worried about it. Paul says, an idol is nothing to me. I'm just going in there to eat. You know what? I am fully persuaded that when I'm broken down on the side of the road, I can go into a bar and use the telephone. I am fully persuaded. I have no conscience about that whatsoever. It's not going to bother me one whit to go in there and use that phone. Of course, now, you know, with all the cell phones that we have, we hardly have to do anything like that anymore. But brethren talked about that kind of thing years ago. That's why I bring that illustration up. I am fully persuaded that there's nothing wrong with that. But the other brother may not be. And then that there becomes the rub. And what I have to begin to work with him and be willing to give up some things. So the strong brother, he's fully persuaded that he can do certain things in the realm of liberty and judgment. We're not talking about sin and error and things like that, but fully persuaded in these realms of judgment. Okay? So we need to understand that. Now, let's look at another word. We're not to cause that weak brother to stumble. We're not to go ahead and exercise our liberty and cause them to stumble. What does that mean? Let's read now. Before we look at that, let's read now verses 13 through 23. Let's look at 13 through 23. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. It's in the context of these opinions. But judge ye this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way. What does it mean that we don't need to cause our weak brother to stumble or an occasion of falling? I know and am persuaded. That's the strong brother. I know. You're fully persuaded in your own mind that I can play cards, you know, years ago. I can play cards. I can go to the movie theater provided it's clean in this way and in that way. I know. That's what makes us the strong brother in conscience. And again, 1 Corinthians 8, a lot of it has to do with the way you were raised, you see. I know and persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself, save to him who accounteth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of meat thy brother is grieved, thou walkest no more in love. Destroy not with thy meat him for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Something that is a liberty and in and of itself good, you can turn it into an evil by forcing it on others. That's the problem with that. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. There are two passages in Romans 14 that get used by brethren. I wouldn't use them this way. And here's one of them. We often use this passage to talk about why we shouldn't have a fellowship hall. The kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking. That's not what Paul is talking about. It's true that we should not have a fellowship hall and it's not authorized, but that's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking. He's just been talking about eating meat and observing certain days. The kingdom of heaven is not about dividing over those kinds of things. It's not about bringing those kinds of things in and using that as an opportunity to divide. It's not about that kind of thing. The fellowship hall is unauthorized. I just wouldn't use this verse to discuss that. I would use other verses. Paul is talking about the kingdom of heaven is not, we're not to divide over these things involving eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that herein serveth Christ is well-pleasing to God and approved of all men. So then, let us follow after things which make for peace and things whereby we may edify one another. Overthrow not for meek's sake the work of God. All things indeed are clean, howbeit it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Now, this is where we're going to start getting to the idea of stumbling. Stumble is not, it does not mean that a weak brother just simply dislikes something. He didn't like what's going on. And so he was caused to stumble. That's not what it means. And brethren have misunderstood this in the past, and they talk about, well, we're not to cause our brethren to stumble. And when you begin to talk with the person, all it was he just didn't like what he did. That's not what it means. It means when you go ahead, it means when you're the weak brother and you go ahead and act out and you do what the strong brother did, but you really didn't think you should have been doing it. That's what it means to stumble. Up here at the top is what brethren think it means, but that's not what it means. I've heard brethren say, well, you caused me to stumble when you did that. What they meant by that was, I didn't like what you did. That's not what that word means. It means to be weak in conscience, and then you go ahead and you see the strong brother doing something, and you go ahead and do it anyway, even though you really don't think you should be doing it. And we've probably all done that in our life. We've done things that deep down inside we're going, I don't really think I should be doing this. But we do it anyway, and often it's because other people around us are doing it, and we just want to fit in with them. That's what it means here. So look at that verse where we stopped. Look at that verse where we stopped. So then let us follow after things which make for peace and whereby we may edify one another. Overthrow not for meat's sake the work of God. All things indeed are clean, howbeit it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. He's eating with offense. He's eating this because he sees you doing it. And he goes ahead and does it, even though he wasn't raised to do that. He's doing it anyway. Now, to help get some help with this, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 8. Paul just spells it out. He tells you exactly what's going on here. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 8, 9 and 10. He gives an example of this. Take heed, lest by any means this liberty, that is, I have the liberty to eat meat, this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to the weak, that is, the weak in conscience. Well, Paul, tell us how that is. Look at verse 10. For if a man see you who have knowledge, you're the strong brother, your conscience tells you that you can eat meat, a man see you who has knowledge sitting at meat in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, look at it, be emboldened to eat things sacrificed to idols? In other words, he's like, well, Larry's over there eating. I was raised not to eat meat. I really don't want to be in there doing that. But I just saw Larry go in. And you start thinking about that a little bit, and you're like, okay, well, I guess if Larry can do it, and then all of a sudden I'm emboldened. I'm like, well, maybe I can do it. But as I'm going in there, I don't feel good about this. And then here comes the meat, and I get out my knife, and this is not right. But Larry's doing it, and then I'm doing it. I'm emboldened to go ahead and do that which really deep down inside I don't feel comfortable doing. I've stumbled. And Larry has put a stumbling block before me. That's what stumble means. It doesn't mean that I just don't like what Larry did. That's not what that means. It means that
I go ahead and do what I believe I shouldn't be doing.
So keep reading. Look at 1 Corinthians 8. Keep reading there. He goes on to say that there is sin involved because we're going ahead and violating our conscience. For through thy knowledge, you see, Larry, he's strong. He that is weak, that's me, perisheth, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And thus sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience, that's what Larry does to me, when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat causeth my brother to stumble, look at that. If meat causeth my brother to stumble, that doesn't mean if meat just is something that I just dislike. No. I go ahead and eat it, even though I feel like I really should not be eating it. That is when the stumbling comes in. That's when the sin comes in. And yes, it is a sin. Look at verse 12. Sinning against the brethren. That's what's so important about this, brethren. It's a sin. It's a sin to bind my opinion on someone and make that weak brother go ahead and do it, even though he really doesn't feel like he should be doing it. Instead of me saying, no, I'm going to forego it, I just do it right in his sight and say, this is the way it is, and I was raised to do this, and it's right, and I just keep on about it. I sin against my brother. And when we think about sinning, we're thinking about, well, I'll never lie, steal, commit adultery, murder, all that kind of thing. But we'll do this very thing and think nothing of it. It's just as much a sin as anything else. Okay? Turn back with me to Romans 14. So let's clear that up. What is actually going on here with regard to stumbling? Stumbling is when a person who is weak goes ahead and does it, even though he doesn't feel like he should be doing it. He goes ahead and does something even when he thinks he should not be doing that. And I have caused him to stumble. Now, how are we to treat our brethren? These are not suggestions. These are not Paul's suggestions. Each one of these is in a command form. And when we don't do them, we violate Scripture. That's why I think we need more preaching on this. Because Scripture is violated when brethren divide over opinion. Someone has violated a Scripture. Someone has sinned. And there's going to be a consequence for that. We had it happen here recently. What was done was an opinion. And I'm not going to mention the details again. What was done was a matter of judgment, was a matter of opinion. You may have had the opinion that that person shouldn't have done that. I may have had the opinion that that person was fine in doing that. But it was in the realm of opinion, period. You can state your opinion about it, but you can't bind it on another. You can't divide over it. You can't say that it's my opinion and that's it. Because of what we're about to read here. Not because of Chris's upset about something. I'm talking about what's in the chapter. When I act that way, I'm not doing what's in the chapter. That's why I'm animated about it. Not because I have some hard feelings about it. Although, what was done was not according to Scripture. It's because Scripture was violated. So let's go down through the list. Number one, in matters of judgment, I am to receive this person. I am to accept them into fellowship. I may not like their opinion. I may have a strong counter opinion to that. But I still have to receive and be in fellowship with them. These are commands, brethren. These are not suggestions. Number two, I have to be willing to make for peace. Number three, verse 19, make for peace. Number three, I must edify or build up each other. Verse 19. Number 20, verse 21, look at it. I must be willing to forego my opinion. And that's the hard one. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. There are some opinions that I have. I want to have them till the day I die. And to take a back seat to Larry and let him, and that's hard for me. You can't see on the inside how hard that is. But Paul said, if it means me giving up meat, I'm going to do that. That's the one right there that a lot of brethren don't want to do. Just be willing to give it up this time and let the other person have their opinion. Let's read verse 21. It is good not to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor to do anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. I must be willing to forgo this. And I sit there and I steam inside. I really think they need to be doing my opinion. I'm telling you. I have to hold it in and keep it to myself and be quiet and let them have their opinion. As hard as it is for me to do that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 8. That's the one that a lot of people don't want to do. Forgo. Give it up. It is good not to eat meat. I'm just not going to do it on this occasion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. Wherefore, here's Paul. If meat causeth my brother to stumble, now stumble doesn't mean he just doesn't like it. It means that he's actually going to be emboldened to do something against his conscience because he sees me, Paul, doing it. I will not eat flesh forevermore. Now, how hard is that? I've mentioned this before to you that when I was about junior high, we always observed Christmas not as the birth of Christ, but just as a holiday to give gifts and so forth. All raised on that from day one. You know, lights around the house, Christmas tree, all that kind of thing. And we do that in our home. But there was something going on in the congregation there in Fort Worth about 1978 where Dad said, you know, if we do that this Christmas, there's going to be a problem with some of our Hispanic brethren who came out of, just about all of them came out of Catholicism. All of them were raised that Christmas is the birth of Christ. That's how they're raised. That's all they think of. That's all they see. And you're raised that way every day, all your life, and then all of a sudden you learn that that's not the case. It's still going to be up here in your brain. And so when you walk into somebody's house with a Christmas tree and all that kind of stuff, you're thinking, birth of Christ, Catholicism, birth of Christ. And so Hispanic brethren, some of them will not observe it in any way, shape, or form because that's about the only way they can get rid of that old way of being raised that way. Well, Bill Reeves does it. Bill Reeves and his kids do it. So let's do it this year. I really don't think we should be doing it, but if Bill Reeves can do it, I can do it. Something was going on of that nature, and he said to us, we're not going to do it this year. And I remember as a child, I want my tree. I want my lights. I want this and I want that. I didn't understand it at the time, but he was practicing Romans 14. And we just didn't do it. In fact, we had some presents and stuff, and one time some Hispanic brethren were coming over. He said, get them all and put them in the back room. We don't want anything around here Christmas oriented. And because they were coming over the house all the time for different things, studies, other kinds, in our home, in and out of our home all the time. I understand now. I will eat no flesh forevermore. Here's an occasion where we're not going to do it. When we got into another situation where that wasn't an issue, we went back to doing what we were doing. Paul said, on this occasion, I'm not going to eat if it's going to cause my brother to stumble. These are commands, brethren. We've got to be willing. Let's come on down to chapter 15. We're going to bear the infirmities. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Underscore it, brethren. It's not about pleasing myself. I may have a very strongly held opinion, and I want everybody in this room to have my same opinion, but it doesn't work that way. And so I keep it to myself, and I'm not going to selfishly please myself. I'm going to let my brother have his opinion. No, here's what's happening. We're being raised in a selfish world, and it's in the church. And so we're sitting back, and we're selfishly telling other people, either directly or indirectly, it's my way or the highway. You better do what I want. That's what we're telling people, and that's wrong. We're not to please ourselves. For that which is good unto edifying. And then verse 5, be of the same mind. We are to be unified in these matters. And then jump on down and let's look at some things that we are not to do. Those are some things we are to do. Let's look at some things that we are not to do. Come back to verse 3. We're not to set them at naught. That is, put them down. We may not like their opinion. It may not be what we want, but we are not to put them down. Number 2, we are not to judge them. We're not to judge them. And the judge here is in the sense of saying to them that your opinion is not valid and you're wrong. We're not to do that. We may differ. Listen, we always differ with brethren on matters of opinion. State it. State it strongly if you want, or keep it to yourself. But don't bind it and judge someone else and say that if you don't do it my way, then you're wrong and I'm leaving. We don't do that in those matters. Number 3, we don't put a stumbling block before them. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way or an occasion of falling. And we already talked about that. What is that? Where I'm just going to go ahead and do it, and this person is emboldened to do it too, even though he doesn't think he needs to be doing it. Where I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to grieve him. Look at verse 5. For if because of meat thy brother is grieved, thou walkest no longer in love. And by the way, when we're doing what Paul said not to do, it's not loving at all. You know, all we're thinking is, well, my opinion. No, you're not loving. Read the scripture. Look at the verses. You're not following what the scripture teaches. All I know is that I'm entitled to my opinion. That's right. You're entitled to your opinion. But you're not entitled to do some things, and that's what the list is. You're not entitled to set them at naught, judge them, put a stumbling block, grieve them. You're not entitled to do those things. And that's exactly what's done often in matters of judgment. I was talking with a preacher in another congregation recently, quite lengthy about this, and his observation was exactly the same, that we're seeing more and more divisions today among brethren over matters of opinion than just a good old-fashioned scriptural division. Just a good old-fashioned scriptural division where somebody takes an erroneous view on a verse. That's almost rare now. What's happening now is just opinion. And it's easy to get in our car and drive somewhere else rather than practice what the scripture says. Why didn't those brethren just get in their chariot and drive across town to the meat-eating church? I don't eat meat. And this brother eats meat. I don't eat meat. And so I'm just going to get in my chariot and go across town to the non-meat-eating church. No, Paul says you stay there and you work it out. You be of the same mind. That's what we're seeing with regard to not following the scripture. We're not practicing these things, brethren. And the church has no hope of growing or being unified or anything when we don't follow what the scripture says. Verse 15, to grieve means to hurt them. We are not, these are commands, they're not suggestions, we are not to destroy them. Destroy not with thy meat for whom Christ died. We're not to overthrow them, verse 20. Overthrow not for meat's sake the work of God. The work of God means a Christian. Larry is the work of God. Shannon is the work of God. And I don't just trample all over them and walk out. Verse 20. As a weak brother, there's something that I'm not supposed to do. I'm not supposed to eat with offense. I'm not supposed to engage in something. If I believe it to be wrong and go ahead and do that anyway, I'm not to do that. And then neither am I. We haven't read these last few verses. Let's read verses 22 and 23. The faith which thou hast, have thyself toward God. That's your personal scruple. Happy is he that judgeth not himself in that which he approveth. But he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith here is being used in the sense of a personal conviction or scruple. We're not to please ourselves, and I think this is the number one cause of divisions over opinions. I'm not willing to forego my thing. I just want to make myself happy. I want to get my way. I want to get my opinion. This is the way it's supposed to be done. The difference between a mature Christian and an immature Christian is the mature Christian follows these passages and keeps opinions in their proper place. The immature Christian does not follow these passages and does the opposite of these things. Acts selfishly, binds them, judges the other person, forces it. You see, that type of thing. Let's close with this point. The lesson will be yours. There's a lot of other good things to say. I want to close with this point. Some brethren err when they try to broaden fellowship, that is, include more people into the group, by putting matters of the faith, matters of Scripture, right and wrong, truth and error, putting that into Romans 14. Denominationalists have done it. Some brethren have done it. Like I said before, some people put instrumental music in there, adultery, homosexuality. I've seen abortion put in there. I've seen a lot of things put in there. Different commentaries on the book of Romans. When you get to Romans 14, the commentator will put things into Romans 14. You just make your jaw drop. Really? We're supposed to receive that person? And some of our brethren do that. And it's an attempt to broaden fellowship. Verse 1, receive. I can receive all of these people, and some of them might just be teaching rank error. But no, they're buddies of mine and longtime brethren in the church, and so let's put it into Romans 14. So that's what some brethren are doing, and that's wrong. But here's a second thing that's just as wrong. And that is, when brethren err, when they won't follow Romans 14, and they divide over the smallest opinions and judgments. That's just as wrong. When they restrict, that would be the opposite. We're going to restrict fellowship. I'm not in fellowship with you. The first one is, let's have more fellowship. That's wrong. The second one is, let's have less fellowship because I can't be with you. And it's over matters of opinion. And they won't practice the principles of Romans 14. And so I'm going to get in my chariot, and me and my family, we're going to go across Rome to that non-meat-eating church. To that non-day-observing church, or whatever the case might be. When we're supposed to stay and be of the same mind. The first one's wrong, the second one's wrong. And so let us avoid both of these errors. I have seen recently, in the past few years, more and more divisions here and elsewhere over matters of opinion, not even over matters of truth and error about what a particular verse teaches. Somebody's not getting the lesson. And so hopefully the lesson this evening will be helpful to us. The damage may be already done, but maybe it can be good for us in the future to keep ourselves from engaging in things that are not proper, and in matters of opinion, properly handle those things in the local congregation. Teach others and help others to see the very same thing. Every one of us here this evening, if we were just to, after services, just start listing your strong opinions about things, every one of us would be very strong about certain kinds of things. But you know what? We keep them to ourselves for the most part. I mentioned one with regard to coming to services dressed a certain way. I mentioned that merely by illustration. But normally I keep those things to myself. We just keep them to ourselves. We don't mention things like that. We don't just, well, here's my opinion, and you got to do it the way I do it. We need to act maturely, brother, and just keep it to ourselves. And if it's something that is outwardly being practiced, like the guy going to the temple to eat meat, if there is something of an outward nature that one of you were to see me doing, I would need to be willing to stop that so that you wouldn't be emboldened to do that against your conscience. So even outwardly, I would need to be willing to stop that. But for the most part, we just don't even bind it. We don't bring it up. We don't force it. But when somebody forces it and makes a bone of contention about it, then there's just no hope for us to be united and grow and work together. And often the brethren that do that take these immature attitudes with them elsewhere and do it elsewhere and divide the church there, and then it just goes on and on and on, and the devil sits back and applauds and has a good time, and it's just a shame. So let's follow what the Scripture teaches about these matters of judgments and opinions. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. You already know what you need to do. We have an occasion to do it. We're not promised of a tomorrow. The Lord may come even this very day. We need to be ready. If you need to make some changes, we would encourage you to do that. If we can assist you, if you want to study, if you want to talk about that, let's do that. But let's all go out with a better understanding from Scripture, how to handle matters of judgment and scruple and opinion. If you're subject to the invitation, why won't you come as we stand and sing?